At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
This is Ezra Graham from the News Nerds Podcast. Join Podcast Father on this journey, sharing great things all sorts of creators are doing. He's the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artists? Come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
We are at a point in time where we are going to start another episode of Indie Podcaster. Thanks for listening and thanks for telling a friend. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. The man that says the word raw more than anybody I've ever met is with me. It's Torch the Poet. What's up, brother?
What's up? What's up? We going to keep it raw today. I'm going to give it to you, Rob, but not the way that you may think. Podcast Father. No, I appreciate you having me on here, Podcast Father. You are the man, the myth, the legend himself. And, you know, over at the Crow Show, we do give it to you, Rob. We make sure to talk about things that, you know, you necessarily won't find being discussed at the dinner table while having dinner. So things that are taboo, we talk about it. And Crow stands for candidly right or wrong. So, check us out every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitter Spaces and some of your other major platforms.
Man, you're really good at that. Your team is the Take Flight Crew, which I think is just awesome. Or the Take Flight Posse. I'm going to call you guys the Posse.
I dig. I definitely dig that.
But we have a really cool interview we're going to share today, Torch. It's Beard Al Podcast with Lauren and John, with interviews with Lauren. Brother and sister, they have a podcast where they discuss, as they say in their bio, the two greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al. And I will say this, their dad, David, is a great follow on Twitter. But anyways, Torch, are you familiar with this podcast, man?
I am. I definitely checked them out. And it's hard to be more of a hot mess than myself. But these two do get that very close vote. You know, growing up, I loved Weird Al Yankovic and the way he used to play off a lot of Michael Jackson songs. Right now, I have a beer in my hand. So, I mean, you put these two together and then two very, very unscripted individuals who just so happen to be siblings. I mean, man, this is a good time. Man. I love it.
The awesome part about it is chatting with Lauren, I really realized how much Weird Al means to her. It's more than just music to her. It's a lifestyle. It's what he represents as far as accepting the person you are, not being ashamed of it. All those deeper meanings that she takes in from Weird Al, it's incredible. We all have something that we take more out of than you might just see at the base of things. And that's what Weird Al is for her.
Well, you know, psychology will teach you that music has a big role in how you will relive a lot of the scenarios and a lot of the occurrences that you experienced growing up. So I love the way that she dissects just how influential Weird Al has been and continues to be. So I did. I really did dig.
Hang around. This interview is incredible. You will enjoy it. But before we dissect into that, as Torch said, we're going to take care of a little business.
You know how we do.
Jeff here. I want to talk about a few things that keep this podcast going. If you like the work that I'm doing, I encourage you to share it with a friend. That really is the best way to spread the word about Indie Podcaster. I would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast listening platform, may it be a Apple or Good Pods, and leave me a rating. Throw me some stars if you would like. All that word of mouth and sharing reviews of this podcast does help. This podcast and myself are proud member of Quite the Thing Media. Quite the Thing Media, podcasts that speak to you. Go check out all the great independent creators from around the world. It is a community-based podcast network. Check it out. It's great. QuiteTheThingMedia.com. If you want to check out my page, it's QuiteTheThingMedia.com/podcastfather. You can request a review from me on site or submit a form to participate on this very podcast. Check it out. I highly encourage you to download and listen to your podcast on the Good Pods app. This app is awesome. You can see what your friends and influencers are listening to. They've got groups for all your interests. I've got two groups I highly suggest you check out. I've got the Indie Podcast Group. I've also got the True Crime Obsession Group. If you're an indie podcaster, Good Pods is for you. They've done crazy amount of things these last couple months to reach out and help indie podcasters. They've got tip jars on there for your podcast. They've got performance charts that are based just on independent podcasts. Make sure you download the app and check it out. Podpage is a proud sponsor of this podcast. Podpage is an amazing resource to build your podcast website. You want them big search engine hits. You want to be out there. You want to leave your mark in the digital world. And this website makes it extremely easy to do that. You can set up your podcast website in just a few minutes. Make sure you check it out, podpage.com. That's enough of all that. Let's jump into this awesome interview. With me today is Lauren Carey from the Beard Owl Podcast. How are you doing, Lauren?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Good. You said that it was torrential rainfall down there in Florida right now?
Yeah. I mean, the Sunshine State, right? It rains every day sometime between, you know, every afternoon in the summertime. It's like torrential rain. So
is it like Sharknado when this happens or?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, man. Like you'll be driving around down here in the late afternoon, early evening, and it'll be pouring, and then you'll drive out of it, and then you'll drive back into it, and then you'll drive out of it, like all on the same stretch of road. It's nuts. Like I never know what to expect on any given day, but yeah, it was just coming through my neighborhood the past like half hour or so, just absolute torrential downpour. Like my backyard is just like a mud pit now.
Incredible. Don't let the dogs out.
No, they wouldn't go out in it anyway.
So, you know, there are probably some people who listen to this, haven't heard of your podcast, I'm sure. So I do want to give you a minute to talk about your podcast and what it is you do. It's a really cool theme. It's unique and it's awesome. So the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So as we say at the beginning of our show, it's the Beard Owl Podcast, where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Owl. My brother and I started it because they are our two favorite things. We grew up loving Weird Al. And then as we became adults, we grew up loving craft beer. And so we said, let's just mash these two things together and see what happens. We've been having a really, really good time with it. And people seem to like it, which is a little surprising to me. But hey, like, I'll take it.
It's awesome. I really like it. It's just, it'd be really hard to find anything else quite like it. I think that's why it's awesome. When did you start the podcast?
It was a quarantine baby. Our first episode came out at the end of May, 2020. Having a podcast about basically this was something that my brother and I had tossed around before COVID hit. And then being stuck in our houses, you know, during the whole pandemic, kind of gave us the time to say, you know what, we really can't be doing anything else. We have nowhere to go. Let's just do it, you know? And so we did. And it's been delightful because I live in Florida, like you said, and my brother lives up in Pennsylvania. And so the whole about a year and a half that we didn't see each other in person, we were just in touch with each other so frequently because of doing our show. And so I said to people, like, starting this podcast made me closer to my brother without seeing him, which is weird to think about. But yeah, it's been so awesome for that alone.
There's a lot of quarantine podcast babies out there.
Yeah.
And I guess quarantine babies too, but yeah. We're talking about podcasts today. It's crazy how many started, but a lot of them really just went maybe a few months or by the end of the year kind of faded out. You guys are still growing strong. Before we kind of get into some of the more details about that, talk to us about your childhood, you and your brother, and then how Weird Al comes into play there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we were nerdy kids. We were in marching band, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. We didn't take piano lessons. We took organ lessons. So we learned how to play. Like, I could play a pipe organ for you right now, but I could. And so we kind of found Weird Al in the summer of 1996 when the Bad Hair Day album came out. And we had one of those boom boxes that it was a big black boombox, and it had a CD player on one side and a cassette deck on the other. And we got the Bad Hair Day CD, and we were in the pool in our backyard, and we just listened to it every day, full blast, every day through this one Weird Al album. And then our dad said, "Hey kids, guess what?" And we're like, "What?" And he came out with a cassette of Weird Al's self-titled debut album that was released in like 1983 that he bought on from the Columbia Record Club. So we were like, "Oh my God, we didn't even know there was more. We thought this was it." And so then from that point, we had his most recent thing at the time, and we had the first thing he ever put out. And then we just kind of filled in the gaps until we had his entire discography up to that point. And then by the time Running With Scissors came out in 1999, we went to see Weird Al for the first time. And the concert that we went as a family, and the concert we went to was in an amusement park. So you didn't have to buy a ticket. Okay. You just got, you know, paid your admission into the amusement park. And then it was at the amphitheater inside the park. Well, we got into the gate and ran. Like, we ran from the gate of the amusement park to the amphitheater, and our parents sat in line, and then they let us kids. We were like, summer of 1999. I would have been, gosh, it's like 13, 14 that summer. And they let us go around the park while they waited at the front of the line for the Weird Al concert to start. And by the time it was time for the concert, we go into the amphitheater. We're in the front row. So the first time I saw Weird Al, I was in the front row because we booked it into an amusement park. And it was like a family obsession, which like never really went away. We didn't talk about Weird Al all that much at school because, you know, being in marching band and stuff like that, like, you don't want like one more nerdy, you know, check mark on your file, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like you see on Twitter, I wear a Weird Al shirt mm-hmm. every day right now. It's not something I would have done when I was in high school. Like, I had the shirts, but I wouldn't wear them to school because it was just one quote unquote, like, problem that I didn't want to have. So Weird Al was always deep in our hearts, and he's kind of stayed there. And I think he's shaped like who we are as people. I feel like I'm patting myself on the back when I say this, but there's a certain level of kindness that Weird Al has that, you know, makes him the right kind of person to emulate. And there's also self-deprecating humor. There's just being goofy for the sake of being goofy, but not in a mean-spirited way that he embodies. And if you listen to me and my brother talk to each other, we have that same kind of rapport. Like, we try to be that for each other and sort of spread it to the world. So I hope that answered your question.
Oh, it did. And it kind of answered a question I had for later, but we can go into it.
Yeah.
I do want to say that your dad seems like a very cool guy. I think he followed me on Twitter a while back.
I bet yeah.
When we first started chatting, probably, you know, tweeting to each other, whatever, about your podcast. But he seems like he's very supportive.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. And, you know, our mom is too, but our dad is like active on Twitter and, mm-hmm. you know, comments and shares things. He has, he doesn't have a podcast, but he's got podcast buddies that he interacts with fairly regularly that he's got a rapport with. And so like, they know my dad. And I said, that's all right. You know, it's a sibling fronted show. So I see no harm in, you know, having the family be involved with the community.
I'm going to have to try to reach out. I'm going to have to try to become closer friends with your dad, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, yeah, you should. You should. He's super cool. He's very cool.
In order to make a podcast like that, there has to be a really deep reason. What you're saying is that Weird Al means a lot more to you than just the music. It's kind of who he is and what he stands for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And if you really dive into Weird Al fandom, it's more than just the music for most people that, you know, would call themselves like a hardcore Weird Al fan. It's, yeah, the music gets you there, but who he is and how he is and the way he's gone about making his career, that is almost as important as the music to me anyway. Like, with every parody song that he does, he asks permission from the artist. Like, legally, he doesn't have to, right? Because parody is covered under fair use as far as the law is concerned. But he asks. He wants whoever he's lampooning to be okay with it, you know? Right. And there's two parodies that I can think of where he's like really like making fun of the artist. And those are Smells Like Nirvana, one where he did Smells Like Teen Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the And the other one is Perform This Way, which is the parody of Lady Gaga's Born This Way, where he's basically just like, I wear all these ridiculous things, but like I perform this way, you know? And he got permission from Lady Gaga to do it. There's a whole story behind that, but proceeds from the internet single of Perform This Way, he actually donated to her Born This Way charity because he was like, you know, I'm kind of making fun of the way you do what you do. Like, I respect what you do, but I'm poking fun at it a little bit, but I respect what you do. So I'm donating money to this organization that you have. That's really important. And like, you can't hate him. Like he's impossible to hate.
I agree. I can tell that you have that deep connection that we talked about, and you alluded to it earlier. You didn't necessarily realize or confess to this initially. At what point in time did you finally, I guess I'm just going to say, fully embrace it? And then was that about the same time that you fully, or maybe not even fully, but started to understand that there was more to Weird Al than just his music? So I'm sure that may have happened in a similar time frame.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that by the time I graduated college, like I had fully embraced all the weird things about myself. I decided not to try to fit into somebody else's box of like what they thought I should be. And Weird Al does the same thing. Once I got into grad school, because I have I'm a MFA in creative writing. So I went to grad school with a bunch of, you know, creatives who take their craft very seriously and write about very serious things. And I'm a good writer and I take my craft seriously, but I wasn't writing about very serious things. So I realized in this moment when I was in grad school, like I'm showing up to class in Hawaiian shirts. Like I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just like, okay, this is what I'm wearing to school today. I wrote my master's thesis about my obsession with TV game shows. It was just completely silly, creative nonfiction about game shows. And everybody else is trying to write, you know, either a serious novel or their memoir about these dark things that happened to them. And we're all taking the craft equally as serious, but nobody knew what to do with me. The faculty didn't know what to do with me because they were all these deep, serious writers that take writing seriously. And I said, I just want to be silly. Like there's value in that. And it clicked in my head, was like, I'm the Weird Al of this graduate program. I'm basically trying to say to all these people around me, like, no, there's value in taking something seriously, but not being serious about it. And once I accepted that about myself, then I was way more like outwardly flaunting the Weird Al of it all, as it were. I've seen Weird Al 10 times, and the majority of it has happened in the last 5 years, like pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first time I saw him was 1999, and it was happened like every once in a while. But man, once I moved to Florida, I saw the Mandatory Fun Tour, you know, twice. I flew from Florida to Atlantic City to go see the Ridiculously Self-Indulgent Ill-Advised Vanity Tour with my family. I flew up, saw the concert, flew back the next day. Like, why? That's insane. But it meant a lot to share that with my family and just us being, you know, ridiculous together and having a ridiculous day. So I also hope that answered your question, because I'm just feeling like once I get off on like my Weird Al tangent, my brain is just like, oh, I love him so much. I love him so much. I hope I'm still being coherent, you know? But long story short, once I accepted the weirdness in myself, then I fully started embracing my Weird Al fandom and just kind of clinging onto it. It's helped me make some amazing connections with people too, because there's a lot of people that have that Weird Al gene, but keep it deep inside. And when they see somebody that's like open with it, they're like, oh, that's cool. I talked with another podcaster a while ago, and Ryan Luis Rodriguez is who I talked to. And I wanted to make sure I gave him credit for this, because he called running into another Weird Al fan, like out in the wild. You recognize that in somebody, and it's like an empathy handshake. You can't be a bad person and be a Weird Al fan. I'm yet to meet one. So, and I've met a lot of them.
That's a great way to put it. I can tell that you're really emotional about it in a good way. When I listened to your podcast, I had never really like thought of Weird Al like that. You know, I'm not going to lie. But as I listen to your podcast, I start to realize like there's much more to it. And there's a little bit of Weird Al in all of us.
Yes.
That probably sounds cheesy, but.
No, it's true. It's true.
And I think it is a big part of you to, like, you know, be a better person, to embrace things like that. Even if it's not Weird Al, if it's just somebody that you can reach to and relate to that can make you feel that way. For you, it's Weird Al. For somebody else, it may be something else. But it's still amazing that you're able to make that connection with him and his music. So what about your brother? Is he pretty similar around there? He like you mentioned earlier, he was a huge influence on you in the first place hearing it. So yeah. He must have very similar feelings. Is he as open as you are?
No. He even said, no, he's a fan, and he's a big fan. I'm the fanatic. Okay. And he openly admits that, you know, he says, like, dude, I love Weird Al. You know, I love listening to him. I love talking about him with you, but, like, more power to you in just, like, letting that flag fly everywhere every day. And I said, I don't care. You know, it is what it is. Actually, the Weird Al shirt that I'm wearing today was the shirt that my brother got at the first Weird Al concert we went to when we were kids. And when I went home over the summer to visit, he gave it to me because he's outgrown it. As a grown man, he doesn't fit into the shirt that fit him as a, you know, an adolescent boy, but fits me. So I said, yeah, I'll take it. So I didn't do that on purpose today, but my brother's here with me as we're recording this, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
My brother said something on our show not too long ago that I'm working to try and get a good design made for it to put on t-shirts, because I think it kind of says what we're all about. My brother was talking with one of his friends about, you know, the podcast and Weird Al, obviously, was part of the conversation. And his friend says, yeah, everybody goes through a Weird Al phase. And then my brother was like, Weird Al is not a phase. Weird Al is a lifestyle. And I was like, that is so true. You know, you don't have to be jumping around, flailing your arms with an accordion and a Hawaiian shirt every day, but to have that just like free spirit, that kind spirit, that sense of humor, like ride you through every day. That's the lifestyle, you know? And I think, yeah, my brother said that. And I think that's freaking brilliant.
I love how it's your family's thing. Some families really struggle to find that thing that brings them together. And it might be more than one thing, but it's incredible that that's your guys' thing. So explain the beer part. The beer plays another huge part into this all.
Yeah, well, that's also the other thing. Our dad got us into craft beer, you know, as we each came of age to enjoy beer. He wouldn't let us drink, like, bad beer.
I call that Jeff beer. That would have been what Jeff drank exclusively in college.
Yeah, so he wouldn't let us drink that. But, well, there's your quality beers and there's your quantity beers. I understand.
I'm proud to announce that the podcast father, myself, Jeff, and Podpage are teaming up for this sponsorship. Podpage is great, guys. Like I was telling you earlier, it is so critical to have an actual podcast website. I know the link trees are used a lot, but you need an actual website. You need something that's going to show up in Google. You need something that's going to show some hits, a trail that will lead to your podcast. And there's not a better way to do it than Podpage. You can build a beautiful podcast website in 5 minutes. Automatically create a listener-friendly podcast site from your RSS feed. Customize the design to create a professional look you'll be proud of in just a few clicks. There is no coding or technical knowledge necessary. There's a free trial to give this a shot, and there's different packages ranging from free to all the goods and gadgets, but still at affordable prices. Podpage is big supporters of indie podcasts, so make sure you support them also. Go on podpage.com and get your podcast website set up. With that being said, we will roll into this segment sponsored by Podpage, where we will play a trailer from a different indie podcast every episode. I hope you enjoy it and give them a listen after you're done listening to my show. Then afterwards, we'll jump back into the interview.
In a world where chaos reigns.
The zombie mo, Aaron. I mean, why?
And the undead are everywhere.
There's a Zed up here.
What? How did it get to the top of the Folly Tower?
I'm not available for questions right now. Just get me back down.
Where sacrifices have to be made.
Oi, what have you put on that pile?
My guitar. It's wooden. It's flammable. And we need it for the fire.
To save their future.
Well, put it back. Someone needs to tell our story one day. I'd rather you do it with your guitar than me do it with my beatboxing. What?
Never do that again.
One woman.
Well, I don't know how you describe a group of zombies.
One man.
An assortment, an association, an assemblage.
We'll do whatever it takes to survive.
This is the worst sunscreen ever. What part of the Zeddy is spreading on me now?
Just a bit of rectum.
Rectum?
Z1 Podcast Season 2, coming soon.
Catch up with all of Season 1 episodes and bonus content on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Google, or wherever you normally grab your podcasts. Season 2 starts September the 5th.
My brother's 21st birthday, we talked about it on a recent episode that we recorded. We went to a craft beer place. And on my brother's 21st birthday, I didn't have a weird girly drink. I didn't have shots. I had a goblet of a Belgian quadruple beer. Okay. And my brother had a Lindemann's. Like that was the thing. And so I remember Sunday afternoons after I'd graduated college and, you know, I had my own apartment, but Sunday afternoons, I would go home to my parents' house for dinner and my brother would go over there as well. He would usually get there first because he lived closer. He would greet me at my parents' door with a beer when I got over there for Sunday dinner. Like that was our hello. He didn't say hello. He handed me a beer. And again, a good beer, a craft beer, like something,
right,
you know, to be appreciated. And just like Weird Al was that thing that like we all liked, all had in common, could all talk about. Craft beer was the same thing, you know? I remember before I developed an appreciation for all sorts of styles of beer, my dad would open something and he'd give it to me. He goes, here, try this. And I'd taste it. I'd be like, oh, I don't like that. That's too hoppy for me, or, you know, this, that, or the other. But he kept making me try different styles of beer till I developed like a palate for it. And I was like, oh, I get what's happening here now. IPAs are my favorite style of beer. Like I'm drinking one right now in my Beard Owl podcast pint glass, by the way.
It looks awesome. I'll give you that.
Thanks. I was like, you can't have a beer podcast without having a pint glass with your logo on it. But I'm drinking an IPA right now. And that wouldn't have happened if those Sunday dinners didn't happen, where like our dad made us try things. We got the first Weird Al album. Our dad said, oh, here's the cassette tape of another Weird Al album. Like, try this. So it's always that spirit of like, try this, try this. If you don't like this one, maybe you'll like that one, but try this. And Weird Al kind of embodies that too. You know, he had a lot of like, honestly, who thought that like a weird, gangly, curly haired, you know, glasses wearing nerd would be the musical tour de force that he is, if he didn't just say like,
For decades
with an accordion, he was just like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to try this. That's a huge part of it too. It was the stuff that brought us together and the stuff that kind of keeps us together. Like if all else fails, we have those two common grounds to talk about too, you know, Weird Al and beer. We're never at a loss for conversation because we have those two things.
Weird Al is very much so embracing who he is, but he's also, the more I kind of gone throughout the years, you start to really appreciate how versatile he is and how he's not afraid to take risks and chances, because he can really, musically speaking, he can do anything, any genre. It's just genre. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he can rap. Mm-hmm. Like when he did White and Nerdy, which was the parody of Chameleonaire's Riding. Chameleonaire like went on record and he was like, that Weird Al can rap. And I'm like, yeah, he can. I tried to do White and Nerdy at karaoke and it did not go well. Like it's too fast. I don't know how he does it. And he does it live. I don't know. But yeah, he can do anything. And another thing that's so impressive is he's had the same band since 1983.
Oh, really?
Nobody has left.
Not a single person.
Not I did a not single know person. That. They're all there with him. John Bermuda Schwartz, the drummer. Steve J is the bassist. Jim West is the guitarist. And then Ruben Valtierra is the keyboard player. He joined in like the late 90s because up to that point, Weird Al played the keyboards in the concerts, but it got to be too much for him to do the performance and play the keyboard parts. So he needed somebody else for the live shows. And Ruben really rounded out the group. But yeah, since 1983, 84, they've all been together and they've all stayed with him, which speaks a lot to who he is. They've all kind of in interviews at one point or another said that being in Weird Al's band has stretched them as musicians, because again, it's like they have to play stuff from virtually every genre out there. You can't just be like, oh, I'm just a bluegrass guy. No, it's like, well, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to play some Puff Daddy now. And it's wild, and they get excited about it still, being able to play stuff in different styles. On the ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised Vanity Tour, they did some songs that were done in one style differently. And you could tell they were excited about doing it. The song Dare to be Stupid off of the 1985 album Dare to be Stupid was a style parody of Devo. So it was very like, you know, but on that tour, they stripped it down and they did it like a Grateful Dead song. And it was like the song that you know, but done completely differently. And you could tell that these were just like five musicians just loving what they're doing. Still, after 35 plus years, it's mind-blowing.
Lauren, I saw this picture that you shared on Twitter. Oh, I don't know. It may have been over a month ago now. You were with Weird Al and you were in tears. You had been bawling your eyes out.
Uh-huh.
Walk me through that day, when it was, and that experience. It seemed incredible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm not married and I don't have kids, so I'm not hurting anybody's feelings when I say that was the best day of my life, because it was. I got the VIP package to the Strings Attached tour, which is the tour that he did with a full orchestra, which was like crazy. So I was in the front row. I saw the concert, and then you get backstage for the VIP meet and greet, and there's these rows of tables and there's candelabras on the tables. It looks very fancy, but there's pizza. So we ate pizza, and then they started sending the tables in row by row to go get their photo op with Weird Al. And I was at like the back of the third long table in this room. There are like five tables. I was at the back of the third long table. So I had to wait a while until it was my turn. And between the pizza and the beer and the anticipation and the line that I had to wait in, by the time I got to the point in line where I could see him, I felt myself like getting really overwhelmed. Like, I imagine this is how a groom must feel when like the bride turns the corner at the wedding and like starts walking down the aisle. I was like, oh, I see him. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it like I was so overwhelmed in that moment. And I got up to him and my eyes started tearing up, and I had stuff I wanted to say to him. I had things I wanted to say, but I was so overwhelmed that I was just like, I think you're awesome. And my eyes started welling with tears, and Weird Al actually looked at me and he was like, are you okay? He asked me if I was okay. And so for a split second, Weird Al cared about like my well-being,
yeah.
You know? And we took the first picture. It was awful because I was just like crying and everything. And then he said, no, let's take another one. So I got a better picture. He signed my piece of sheet music that I got as part of the VIP package. And he got the big Sharpie out for me and he signed his name huge. I don't remember the rest of the day. Like, thankfully, I went with my friend Jonathan, who drove. So like, I was just like, oh my God, I just met Weird Al. This is insane. And I think part of me not being able to say to his face some of the stuff that I wanted to say to him, mm-hmm. about like what his music and his career and just who he is has meant to me was part of the catalyst that got the gears turning in my head about doing a podcast about Weird Al, because I said, if I couldn't say it to his face, at least I can like shout it out into the void and maybe he'll hear it.
And those of you listening, you're going to hear her, a lot of sounds going on. It's because you can't see it, but she's wailing around very enthused about the explaining this. No, it's okay. It's okay. They can't see it, but she's very excited, just emotional talking about him. You can't even remember if there were any more words exchanged.
He asked if I was okay. I said, I think you're great. I love everything you do. He said, thank you. You know, put his arm around me, got the picture. And then when he went to sign my music, he said, he like motioned to one of his handlers that was there. And he says, get the big Sharpie. I remember him saying that, get the big Sharpie. So I don't know if it was because I was overwhelmed or because my piece of sheet music had a lot of blank space on it that he was like, yeah, I'm just going to sign this big. But I remember him saying, get the big Sharpie. Yeah. I mean, I think of Weird Al now every time I see a big Sharpie. So
he made an effort though, to make sure that he got the big Sharpie out for you.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And it's beautiful. I mean, the signature itself is probably like 4 inches high at its highest. Oh, wow. And it's huge. And then the Y in Yankovic is just, oh, it's amazing. Like it's like a John Hancock, like it's an autograph. Like it's big time.
Where's it at? What kind of cases is it in? You spend some money on the case?
No, not yet. Not yet. I have to figure out like the right place to put it. Right now, it's somewhere very safe with the poster that I got at the concert, just kind of like kept away from elements and like nosy dogs and things like that. But yeah, I need to get it properly framed.
For sure.
But it's one of those things that like, once I get it properly framed, I'll never be able to like touch it again.
You'll never be able to sleep with it again like you have been.
No. See, I'd ruin it.
Yeah, true. True. Wouldn't be safe.
No.
You think he's heard of your podcast?
He has. I know this to be true because two reasons. One of the fans of our show who has, you know, reached out to me and stuff, he said that he found us on WeirdAl.com. That's how he became aware of the Beard Owl podcast. There's a news page on WeirdAl.com where it talks about his podcast appearances, but it also lists other podcasts that are solely about Weird Al. And we are listed on there, which blew my mind. And the episode that we released on New Year's Day of 2021, the tweet that I tweeted out about that episode, he liked.
Oh. Uh-huh. No, that's cool though. I'm not going to take anything away from that. So, you know, he knows you're out there. He doesn't know you're the girl that he got the big Sharpie out for maybe, but one day.
Yeah. One day. Hopefully he'll tour again and I'll get VIP tickets again. And maybe this time I'll be a little more coherent because I've spent so much time, like my gushing about him has like escaped in other ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe when I see him again, I'll be able to be like, hey, Weird Al. You know, versus, there's a difference.
Maybe a handshake this time. Yeah. Something.
Maybe a handshake. Yeah. Or something. My brother, every time I get into that story on our show, my brother's like, you're going to cry. You're going to cry again. Like, that's just what you do. You're going to cry again. And I was like, I know, but maybe I won't.
you should write down a bunch of questions on like a note card. Like, you should be ready to hand it to him in case.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's like that, that Chris Farley sketch on Saturday Night Live where like he had to interview Paul McCartney and he's like, so what was it like being in the Beatles? Cool. Next card. What was this? And so I could probably go up to Weird Al, be like, hey, so what's it like being a national treasure? Thank you. Okay. Next card.
If you start crying too much, you can just hand him that too. It's like a backup plan.
Yeah, that's true. Like, here, these were all my questions. Please
don't cry all over him. So talk to me about the podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I haven't got to go back into the earlier episodes of your podcast. More recent ones that I listened to where you had some other podcasters on there. But going back to your podcast, how's it changed from the beginning to now?
The audio's better because I've gotten better and I know what I'm doing a little bit more as far as that's concerned. But the structure of it's basically the same. We release something every Friday. Every other Friday usually is what we call our regular episodes. That's where it's me and my brother, and we're talking about a particular Weird Al song, and we're pairing it with a craft beer, as one might pair wine with a meal. That's kind of what we do. We try and make connections with the song, like either with the name of the beer or the style of the beer. So we can say, like, when we talked about the song Jurassic Park, we each had a beer from Toppling Goliath called like Pseudo Sue, which has a Tyrannosaurus Rex on the can. So that was our connection there, right? So we try and make it make sense. But then every other week, I have what I call my very special episodes, where other Weird Al fans or other podcasters come on to talk about Weird Al in whatever way they want to do it. I was surprised at how many other podcasters just wanted to come on and, like, you know, talk about Weird Al with me. I said, really? And they've been some fun conversations. They absolutely have been. So we'll do album rundowns. So, like, we'll take a Weird Al album, or as we call them on our show, we'll take a Weird album and we'll go track by track and just kind of talk about it. We've done episodes about the movie UHF. We've talked about the Weird Al show. We've talked about Weird Al movie and TV cameos. In March, we did our March weirdness brackets, where we did a Weird Al album bracket and we did a Weird Al polka bracket, which were a lot of fun. The polka bracket took off. And I think it's because I called it the bop wop bracket, like Weird Al podcast, which is BAP, and then Weird Al polka, which is WAP. So I called it the bop wop, which people got a kick out of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might have been why people listen to that one, because it's not the WAP they think it is. And I just have a lot of fun. I've got some fun things coming down the line, too. So that's what's been super cool about it, is having different people on my show and then being able to go on other people's shows and either, like, bring the Weird Al of it all to their show or get to talk about something else that I enjoy. It's been so much fun.
That's awesome. And what are some goals that you have for your podcast? Because from listenership, how do you go out and get and find more of these Weird Al maniacs out there? You've done some really cool things, like you just said. That interactive stuff is great. Mm-hmm. So what other tricks do you have up your sleeve, and what other goals do you guys have for your podcast?
I said at the beginning that we got into this because my brother and I just wanted to be able to talk to each other and have a good time. And I always kind of said that even if nobody listened, like, we'd still keep doing it because we're having so much fun. The fact that people listen to it is kind of a, you know, it's a bonus. It's like, oh, all right, that's cool. But once I got on Twitter with it and, like, kind of landed in the podcast community, I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. And so I've watched it grow slowly but surely. I'm sure there's other podcasts that started around the same time as ours that have grown faster, but because ours is so, like, weird and niche and specific, like, I get that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to explode, but, like, I'll take tiny little pops here and there. That's great. I'm more than happy with that. I don't really have tricks up my sleeve, right? I just want to be as authentic as I can be.
Exactly. That's where I was leading you. Exactly. Yep.
Because I put on Twitter not long ago, like, the Twitter feed for the Beard Al podcast is me turned up to 11. That's all it is. Like, what you see on that Twitter feed, that's who I am. 100%. Like 110%, I guess, if it's turned up to 11, right?
Who's counting?
Who's counting? I don't know. I don't math. I'm not the math person. But yeah, I just want to be authentic, and I want to make authentic connections with people. Like, I'm not going to try and be on somebody's show because I think it's going to do something for me. Like, when I saw what you were doing with this show, I thought, oh, that this is really great. I like what you're doing for the indie podcast community. And that's why I reached out about being on this. Like, if I get more listeners from this, great. If I get somebody to say, you know, I haven't thought about Weird Al in a really long time, I'm going to listen to Weird Al now, that's also great. I've spread something positive today from talking with you. And that's really all I want. Would it be great to make, you know, $27 million and, like, be able to retire? Oh, like, yeah. Sure. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I'm just having fun being myself and meeting other people that I hope are trying to do the same thing.
I really appreciate the kind words that you had. There are several people that have talked to me that have listened to every episode. They don't have a podcast, but they go from every episode in there. And this is how you know you have a really good engagement from at least, and I'm not saying there's a lot of them. They're really good engagement when they are going and checking out these other podcasts. An example would be the She Will Rock You podcast. I had so many people be like, I went and I checked this out. It was awesome. And that makes me feel great, because what I'm trying to do is really highlight the amazing things content creators are doing. But, and this will segue this into my last question for you. For you and what you're doing, it is more than just creating content. You are really promoting naturally, organically, like you said. You're not, it's mm-hmm. not fake. You're promoting a lifestyle, mm-hmm. a certain way of being yourself, being who you are. So with all that being said, what advice do you have to content creators, whether it be podcast or anything, as far as that, you know, being yourself and then the actual creating content piece?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I mean, I'll put it this way. Like, I've talked with enough podcasters on here that I can tell when somebody is like faking authenticity, right? You can tell when somebody's trying to be the thing that they think that people want.
Right.
And like, that's not appealing to me, you know? And I don't think that's appealing to most people. And again, take Weird Al, for example. He's not trying to be the thing that people want. He's trying to be his authentic self. And if you like it, great. Then you know what? You're the kind of people that he wants around him. If you don't like it, then like, whatever, you know?
Go to hell.
And I think that's pretty much, I think that's something that podcasters and content creators like need to keep in mind. Like, yes, I have an audience and it's great. And I mean, it's steady. I mean, there's people that listen every week and give me feedback every week, which I love. And we call those our loyal commenters commenting in the comments. I want it to be authentic. You know, I just got tweeted at today. It's a relatively new podcast called What I Had Heard Was, and they are two sisters. They just tweeted today, like, you know, they followed on Twitter. I followed back. And then they tweeted today, like, decided to give another sibling fronted podcast a listen. And then they tagged us and they're saying, hey, go listen to the Beard Owl podcast. Tell them we sent you and we'll send you a sticker. I didn't ask them to do that. All I did was follow back on Twitter. Okay. And they use the sibling thing to make an authentic connection with us. And so I'm like, that's awesome. You know, that people are just like, hey, we have this one thing in common. Let's support each other. Or we have this other thing in common. Let's support each other. So for me, it's less about finding an audience and more about finding a community, which I think podcast community kind of has been. I mean, that's all I have, is basically be yourself. That's it. Like, end of sentence. That's all I really am trying to do.
Be yourself and don't be afraid and worried about being judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And man, it took a long time to get out of that phase. You know, now here I am every single day posting a selfie of myself in a Weird Al t-shirt. Most of the times I don't even have makeup on, which you would ask like 5 years ago, me, would you put a picture of yourself on the internet without makeup? I would have said no, but now I'm like, whatever, I am who I am.
Me neither. How many Weird Al shirts that, I guess I lied. I'm a liar. Weird Al shirts do you have?
I started the year with 14. Cause like, again, I've seen him 10 times. And then I had a couple other shirts, but I'm pushing 50 at this point, but it's been cool. The community, man, I've had people from Twitter say, hey, I dug up this Weird Al shirt that doesn't fit me anymore. Do you want it? I'm like, send me a picture. If I don't have it already. Yeah. So that's happened more than once.
Do you look up things too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've bought some on eBay and mm-hmm. Etsy and TeePublic and stuff. So like, cause some people are making really cool independent artists are making some pretty cool, like Weird Al themed shirts, either stuff from the UHF movie or stuff from the songs. So I get those. It kind of breaks up the day. Cause I can wear a Weird Al Yankovic shirt that says Weird Al Yankovic on it. Or I can wear a t-shirt that says the Shuffleboard Hall of Fame, Clearwater, Florida. Guess what? That's also a Weird Al shirt.
I really do appreciate you taking the time today to come on and chat with me. It's always great to get further into the story of some of these content creators and podcasters, that there's so much more to a podcast than just the title. And for you, it's a lifestyle. And I think that's something that everybody should live by. Find your Weird Al and embrace yourself.
I love that. Yes. Find your Weird Al. It doesn't have to be Weird Al. And there are no guilty pleasures. Like, you like the thing that you like. As long as you're not hurting anybody, embrace that thing.
Thanks again for chatting with me.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
We'll keep in touch.
Yeah.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.